particularly with so many things that are absolutely so distracting that is taking place in our world right now. The Bible said the words of Jesus, and this communion is one of the ways that we are reminded of the need to stay focused. Everybody say, stay focused this morning. It's vitally important that you keep your focus, and we're going to talk about that in just a few moments. So this communion service is to help us stay focused on what is truly important and what will help us to face the realities of living in a fallen world, in a faulty body. Everybody say, my world, this world is a fallen world. How many know it's not like God made it? We receive the offering just a jiffy, but I want to get this thought across early on. Amen. This is a fallen world. So in this world, by virtue of it being a fallen world, you shall have tribulation, thelpsis, pressure is brought to bear. How many feel the pressure? Amen. Anybody out there feel it? Do you feel me? I feel it. I am biblical in that I am tribulating. Can you say amen? I feel the pressure of it all. Well, services like we're entering into right now, particularly Holy Communion, is to help relieve that pressure and help to get our focus back where it needs to be. And it is vitally important that we learn how to keep our focus. And God wants us to clearly understand how vitally important that is, particularly in times with so many things that are distracting and discouraging to our hearts and to our lives. Communion is designed by the Lord Himself to have us focus on the greatness and the goodness of our God in spite of the circumstances in the immediate sense of our world and our life. Now, we live in a fallen world, and secondarily, before we receive the offering, you live in a faulty body. I've heard messages on divine health, and to a degree, I believe that God can keep us, but He will not keep you from aging. It's the last enemy. I said He will not keep you from aging. I didn't know if you got that or not, but you will age. Amen. And one day the time will run out for your life here upon this earth because your body will fail. Amen. It will literally fail someday. The heart isn't because of the fall. Death came through Adam, and it's the last enemy. It hasn't been destroyed. Physical death hasn't been destroyed. Spiritual death is gone through Jesus Christ. And really, we're never going to die. We'll shed this old... I saw a snake skin the other day out in the yard. I didn't tell my wife about it because then she'd be looking for the snake every time she went out. But the dog brought it in on the porch. That's right. So the dog let the cat out of the bag or the snake out of the skin or whatever, snake skin. Anyway, the dog hates snakes. The little spotted dog, he's a godsend. He will shake a snake till that snake don't know which way is up. He's a snake shaking dog. But I looked at that snake skin and I thought, you know something, that when we shed this old body, when we shed this body, amen, we don't die. That's the wonderful thing about Christianity. To be absent from this body is not to be dead. Someone said one time, they told me, says, Brother Venerable, I believe that the spirit just hovers for 7 days around oh, my Lord in heaven. You can believe anything you want to. You can believe that you look like Tom Cruise, but that don't change you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. But... And you know, he's not so great anymore. He's not. Who's the top dog? I don't know. I don't care. But when Christians die, it's different to be absent from the body. Amen. It's not to be associated with that body anymore. It's to be immediately ushered into the presence of God. And did you know there's a temporary place for your soul to reside until the general resurrection of the dead, until this body is renewed and restored? The Bible said if this earthly tabernacle were blown down, this earthly tent was blown down by a mighty wind, we have one in the heavens not made with hands. And wherefore we do not yearn to be naked. That means to not have a body for our spirit to express through, but clothed with our tabernacle from heaven. Can you say amen? Paul said that's waiting for me. To be absent from the body is to be in that body, present with the Lord until the resurrection of this body. And then I'm going to be reunited with this body and God's original plan for the earth and man to live eternally upon the earth, and everything to be good is going to be perfected and carried out. If you were looking forward to sitting on a cloud and strumming on a harp for eternity, that is not what eternity is all about. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth, the new Jerusalem. We always associate heaven up there. It's not going to stay up there. Amen. The holy city, John said, it's coming down. There's going to be a new heavens, a new earth, and the holy city is coming down to this earth, and we're going to live here forever, according to the word of God. We're not just going to be floating around in the air somewhere. We're going to be here. And someone said, will we know one another? Because some people got the idea that these spirits without bodies are going to be floating around and just, you know, ectoplasm floating through the universe. Absolutely not. Amen. If we believe that Jesus, God raised Jesus from the dead, amen, those that are asleep in Christ, he will also raise up. Can you say amen? The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ shall rise. We which are living and remain will be caught up if we're alive during that time to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So I just tell people, if I moved to Dallas and you came to Dallas 5 years later, do you think you would recognize me? I'd be the same person in Dallas that I am here, but I'm going to be the same person in heaven that I am here. Amen? Amen? So, will we know each other? Absolutely. Praise God. Positively. We will know one another in heaven. That's what's going to make it so wonderful, that all these relationships will not be broken. If our loved ones are Christian, we're going to be together forever. So God is so good today. I'm excited about this service because the Lord is speaking so clearly to help us that who live in the most distracting time, not only distracting. Did you hear about the guy who's text messaging one of the worst train wrecks in California, and just a minute or so before the train wreck happened, he was returning a text message. Distraction cause such devastation. I'm going to tell you something. This is no time to be distracted. Can you say amen? This is a time not only of distraction, but through it a time of discouragement and a time of great error in doctrine. It's all. I'm astounded at the excess of error in doctrine, to where we lose credibility with anyone with a study Bible. You don't have to be a professor of theology if you've got a study Bible. Just a study Bible, and you read the heading. Amen. It just blows away some people twisting of Scripture. We're living in that day of deception. We can't afford not to stay focused on the Word of God and focused on our Savior in a time such as this. Amen. Some shall depart from the faith during this time that's described and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Because it sounds right doesn't mean it's right. And because tens of thousands follow it don't make it right either. Can you say, man, if the blind leads the blind, it doesn't matter. How many know, no matter how many people follow the blind, it isn't going to make it right. They go in the ditch anyway. So I want to follow Jesus. I want to stay focused in this time. Can you say, man? I want to stay true to the Word of God. Hallelujah. So it's so important, this message we're going to bring you today. And it has to do directly with what is happening at Holy Communion. Because during Holy Communion, we are called upon to get focused on Jesus. Can you say amen? And develop that discipline of learning how to stay. A word they might use in contemporary culture is to be centered, to get centered. Can you say amen? Well, we're centered in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bless this offering today. We want to thank you for people living in times like this and still giving, because we love you and we know, Lord, that somehow, some way, you're going to make a way for us. Father, we're operating in a law of sowing and reaping. Lord, we sow generous and bountifully, we reap bountifully. And that is your word on it. So, Father, we know that no matter what the Dow Jones is today, amen, we're talking about the windows of heaven here. We're not talking about the earthly economy. And, Lord, we've seen you move to supply needs in times of great famine and great hardship in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we've seen you multiply fish and loaves, bring coins out of fishes' mouths, turn water into the sweetest wine. We know, Lord, that you are a waymaker. So we're not afraid, Lord, to invest in your work, in your kingdom, even in times like these. And everyone that believes that God is true to his word said, amen, amen and amen. God bless you as you give this morning. Once again, we're glad that you're here to share this communion service with us. We're living in a day that we have a warning from the Lord. This is not our text scripture, but we have a warning from the Lord about people living in the times like these. And that warning is to beware and to be careful, to be forewarned, that your hearts not be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, that that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare, it shall come upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Can you say amen? There is a clear warning that we could get caught up. Remember, he said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the day the Son of Man cometh. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day that the Son of Man cometh. And one of the things that didn't seem so drastically wrong about that day was, it said they ate and they drank. Well, do we eat and drink? Sure we do. But surfeiting is not your normal, it's not having supper with your family. It is a partying for self-indulgence. It is living to be self-indulged and gratified. A word that would be descriptive of that in our generation would be hedonism. And hedonism is the philosophy of life, that life is to be lived to just get the pleasure out of it for self-gratification. That is the whole issue of life. It's not about helping people. It's not about giving of yourself. It's about getting for yourself. There's even cruises that encourage singles to get on it to meet for relationships. And I don't mean just future marriage and all the pure stuff. I'm talking about to have relations on the cruise itself and to see where it leads from there. And it's called the Hedonism 2 or Hedonism 1. Actually incorporating that word into and they know what it's going to draw. It's going to draw a party crowd. So Jesus said this is going to be an attitude of the last days. So understand the culture around you and beware lest your heart be overcharged. That means so filled with the culture that it pulled you away from an awareness of the time that you're living. And you're not really ready for the coming of the Lord. Beware lest your heart be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, so that day come upon you as a thief, for as a snare it's going to come upon all the inhabitants of the earth. I'm taken back by how many preachers do not preach the judgment to come. How can we be forewarned, and how can we be prepared, and how can we stay away from the indulgences of the flesh that's going to numb us to the reality that we're in the last days and His coming is at the doors, if you don't even hear a message very rarely on the soon coming of Jesus? We have an earthbound message, and it's based on a world view, and it appeals to the flesh, and it doesn't prepare the church for the bridegroom. It's coming for a church that is holy. Amen. A church that is sanctified. The Word of God is designed to cleanse us and set us apart unto God. Can you say amen? And the Bible said everybody that has this hope, the hope of Christ's soon return, purifies himself even as he is pure. Can you say amen? And to them that look, he shall what? Appear to them the second time without sin unto glory. Amen. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, and watch and pray because you don't know at what hour, amen, that the Lord is going to return. So the issue is to stay in a state of readiness and to not let our hearts be caught up in what the culture and the world is caught up in, lest that day do what? Overtake us as a thief. I'm convinced that many people in church today that are looking for the gold and silver from God, that are not looking for heaven and not looking for Him, amen, are not ready for the soon coming of Jesus Christ. I don't think we're ready for any kind of persecution, yet persecution is coming, and it's going to get worse in America. Amen. Right now, the faith, people of true faith, authentic faith that adhere to the tenets of the faith and the cardinal truths of Scripture are under the gun. They're going to be lambasted. They're going to be lampooned. Is it Bill Maher that's got the movie coming out where he lambasts and lampoons Christianity? And he asked, I think on The View, I didn't see all of it, I saw a sound bite of one of the ladies on The View, the black lady on The View. I don't know her name, but she was telling him, you know, something about why don't you talk to God? Have you ever talked to God? And he says, it's all right for you to talk to God as long as he don't talk back. She said, well, he talked back to me. I mean, they were going at it, you know. And so we're living in a day when Satan wants to discredit and disqualify the true faith. And if it was just people that didn't know God that had bought into atheism, remember John Lennon's song, Pretend There's No Heaven? It made such a hit. No heaven above us, no hell beneath, no religion. If we could eliminate religion, then America is just, Bill Maher said, America could go forward. We're still caught in the past. We're still holding to things that are scientifically inaccurate. That is an insult to any intelligent thinker. Janine Garofalo on one of the talk shows said that, do you realize we have a president in office that believes in creation? Can you believe that someone was that dense, that dumb, that out of touch, that there's someone in office that actually believed that God created this world? So if you think the world out there, the culture, is somehow a friend to God, listen, I don't want what they have. Are you listening to me today? I don't want what they have. I'm not envious of the world. My son, Proverbs said, if you want wisdom on this, my son, don't let your heart envy sinners. Neither go there thou after them. Can you say amen? But let thine eyes look straight on before thee. Everybody say, stay focused. Let thine eyes look how? Straight on before thee. Look neither to the right hand nor to the left. Hallelujah. If there's a message today, it is that God wants you focused on His holy word. Hallelujah. Amen. And God wants you focused on Jesus Christ today. And He doesn't want you distracted. He doesn't want you deceived. He doesn't want you discouraged. And the only way to prevent it is to stay focused. He wants you rares for His coming, and He wants you focused on the important things and the vital things of life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. How can you stay focused when so much preaching has to do with just getting things like the world? Your Father knows what you need. So you don't spend your time and energy trying to get Him to give you what He wants you to have. You seek His kingdom and His righteousness. And all of these things will be added. The Father is going to take care of you if you put the first things first. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. The prayer of the saints is, Thy kingdom come. Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus. Can you say amen? Let thine eyes look straight on before thee. Look neither to the right hand nor to the left. David put it this way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. I've got a t-shirt that says, walk this way. And people see it, they think of Run DMC. Amen. One time I said, I cracked a lady up at work. She said, I can't believe you're wearing that t-shirt. I said, read the rest of it. I said, this is not about Run DNC. Yeah, that's only the ladies understand that. Yeah. But then it said, Jeremiah 30:21, whether you turn to the left or to the right, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Can you say amen? If we will let God today, He will guide us through all of the pitfalls of deception, all of the snares of the devil, all of the pressure and persuasiveness of the culture. If we will let God, amen, the sons of God are what? Led by the Spirit of God. And believe me, if He gets truly into the leading of your life, He will focus you on the Word. Amen. He will bring to your remembrance everything that Jesus spoke. Can you say amen? And not only will He just bring it out of the file cabinet and put it in the forefront of your mind, He will bring it in the same anointing that Jesus spoke it. Amen. There's a difference in the logos of the Word, which is the written Word on the page, as holy as it is, and the R-H-E-M-A, the Rhema, when God takes that Word and makes it real in your heart and in your life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's read this about staying focused in our Holy Communion out of Hebrews 12 and verse 3. And it's a simple scripture that I've quoted many times. Consider Him, for consider Him. Everybody say, stay focused. Stay focused. Listen to it. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider him. What is communion all about anyway? Jesus instructed us to remember him. Every time we participate in the Lord's Supper, he said, this do in remembrance of me. This doesn't mean to recall some vague memory of Christ's suffering in our behalf on the cross, a memory dimmed by the mist of passing time, but rather a vivid and present view of Jesus, our sacrificed lamb, laying down his life for you and laying down his life for me. Amen? We're actually going to act out today something that is always to be done publicly. Something that reminds us that Jesus did in fact go to the cross. He did in fact die. His death was vicarious. He took our place. And it was also vicious because he suffered for you and me. He didn't die a quick, neat little death. He died a horrendous, horrific, horrifying death. A death that without God strengthening him to endure all the suffering he went through so that the justice could be fully satisfied in him, he couldn't have done it. After he prayed, not my will but thine be done, and he prayed, Abba, Father, and entered into that intimacy with God. Amen. That's the first time that word Abba was used, is in the Garden of Gethsemane and used exclusively by Jesus Christ when he said, Abba, Father, if there be any way. He didn't just say Father in the sense of my Father in heaven. He said, Abba, Father. Amen. Which is the first word that children muttered when they recognized who their daddy was. It's in the Aramaic tongue, and it's two syllables, easy for a baby to say, Abba. Abba, and we have a counterpart here in our nation, in our language, in our English language. It's also a two-syllable word. You know what it is? Dada. Dada. Amen. And I'm not being irreligious or irreverent when I'm telling you that God wants you to have a relationship with him whereby you say, Abba, Father. We're reminded in communion that we have access to God as our Heavenly Father, and not just in the sense that he sits high in his heaven, but that he's accepted us as his children, looks at us as his very own. Amen. And we come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain grace and mercy to help in time of any need. Can you say amen? Everybody say Abba. That's what's missing in most people's prayers, is the Abba. Abba, Father, Jesus cried. And the New Testament says the Holy Spirit bears witness in our heart that we should also cry, Abba. Can you imagine having the awesome privilege that was unique to Jesus and Jesus alone to address the God of the universe not only as Father but as Daddy? Jesus said, I need comfort right now. I have consigned myself to go to the cross, and I've resigned myself to the suffering that I'm going to go through. And what I need from God right now is not power. I need him. I need my dad, my father, my Abba. So Jesus prayed in intimacy, Abba, Father. So many people are trying to develop this great faith that gets us away from intimacy and our total dependence on him. When you say Abba, you know what you're saying? I am 100% dependent on my daddy to help me.
Hallelujah.
My father, my Abba. Intimacy is missing in so much of the message today because God is just this great dispenser in the sky that dispenses blessings, and we have these faith formulas to reach him, but we don't have the heart that says Abba to him in a personal, intimate relationship. And yet Jesus said, I'm going to my God and your God, my Father and your Father. And the great Lord's Prayer, the true Lord's Prayer, is not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is our prayer. It wasn't Christ's prayer for us. It's our prayer to God, and all the elements of all prayers included in it. Lord, teach us to pray. He said, here's how you're supposed to do it. Our Father, that's not the Lord's Prayer. That's our prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in John 17, I believe it is. It's in John's Gospel for sure, amen, where Jesus began to cry out to God before he left this world, and he prayed for you and me in that prayer. We're included in that prayer. He said, I don't pray for these only, those Christians and disciples of that day, but for everyone that believes on my name, amen. And here's what I pray for all Christians for all time. Hallelujah. He said, Father, you know how you're in me and I'm in you and we are one in each other. I want them to be in us just like I'm in you and just like you're in me. Amen. And God answered that great prayer after Jesus, amen, went to the cross and the veil was rent. God answered that great prayer. God answered that great prayer. Amen. And now the Bible said that we are in Christ. Can you say amen? And that Christ is in us. Amen. And Jesus said, they said, Lord, they're all over you. People pressing you on every hand. How is it that you're going to be intimate with us and not with the whole world? Because everywhere we go, amen, there's this group of people pressing in to get healing from you, to get help from you. They push us aside. They elbow us out of the way. Remember one little woman crawling on her hands and knees and almost tripped over her as she pressed in to touch the hem of your garment. How are you going to manifest yourself to us and be intimate with us and not with the whole world? He said, if any man will love my Father and keep his commandments, I and my Father will come to him and we will make our abode with him. That word abode means to move in and feel at home. As it is written, saith the Lord, the New Testament says, I will live in them and I will walk in them. And Paul said, if you want to know that you're going to heaven, you've got the down payment on heaven already. Amen. Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's the surety. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If God has so saved you and so sanctified you that Jesus Christ can live in you, God the Father can live in you, the Holy Spirit can live in you. If the three holiest persons of heaven that make up the triune God can right now live in you, I suppose you can live in the holy city. Can you say amen? I will give you another comforter. He will be with you. He will be in you. And he will abide with you forever. I suppose if God can live in you after you become a Christian, Christ can live in you, the Holy Spirit can live in you, that you can live in heaven. Because what makes heaven holy is not golden streets. It's not precious stones and gates of pearl. You know what makes heaven holy? The same thing that made a mountain holy. Amen. In the Old Testament. Same thing that made Sinai holy. What made Sinai holy? When God came down on it. Can you say, man, then you wasn't allowed to touch it. And even if an animal touched the base of it, it was to be thrust through with the dark, the holiness of God. What makes heaven holy? Amen. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost make heaven holy. Hallelujah. The same thing that makes heaven holy makes us holy. Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost has come to live in us.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
So if there's any doubt that you're worthy of heaven, honey, if you're worthy of Him, you're worthy of heaven. Wow! Glory to God. This Holy Communion is meant to change our focus from ourselves to Jesus. From ourselves to Jesus. I said from ourselves to Jesus. It's part of denying yourself is not focusing on yourself. Can you say amen? Don't get this fatalistic look when you hear deny yourself. You mean I can't have the Escalade? No, you're going to have to make do with the Mercedes. No, the Mercedes more than that. Anyway, just be thankful for what you have in Jesus Christ today. Get your focus off the world. My son, let not thine heart envy sinners, neither go thou after them. Can you say amen? Stay focused. Consider him that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your own mind. It's meant to stimulate our faith. It's meant to renew our hope. It's meant to evoke our love for the Lord. We love Him because He first loved us, and that love is expressed visibly at the cross. to strengthen our resolve to keep on keeping on. I don't want to ever entertain an idea of going back. Somewhere out over the Atlantic, there is a plane with passengers headed for Europe, a European destination. And in that plane, there is a navigator. And the navigator, at a point in the flight, is going to inform the captain that is flying that plane and the co-captain, "We have just passed the point of no return." You know what that means? That means it's closer to go on to the destination. So no matter what happens from that point, it's further to go back. It's closer to go on than it is to turn around and go back. At that point, you get engine trouble, you go full speed ahead. At that point, you have a fuel issue, you go full speed ahead. If somebody goes ape in the plane, you go full speed ahead. Can you say amen? Lock them up and keep on going. Amen? But you don't consider going back. There ought to be in every Christian life a point that we reach where we say no matter what. Amen. No matter what. You know how Job came to that point? Though he slay me, I don't understand what's going on. I even think it may be God that's doing it. But though he does, I will not curse him. And I will bless him and I will serve him. The Lord gives, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because down the line, I know that my Redeemer lives. At the last day, he's going to stand on the earth. And when he does, though the skin worms eat my flesh, yet in my flesh I shall see the Lord. Not another shall see him in my person, my behalf. But I shall see with him. When he stands up, I'm going to stand up with him. And death is not going to cancel that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ought to be a point that we cross where there's not even a consideration of going back. No man, no woman, no wealth, no fame will persuade us to move away from the faith. This is what excites me about Communion Sunday, is because it's 100% about Jesus and the cross. By fixing our eyes on the only one who endured it all and conquered gloriously, we can find the invisible strength which can keep us from fainting. This is the only strength in weakness, the only burning flame, someone said, when all our furnaces go out. The only restorer in weakness, the only enabler in the day of weariness. In the day of weariness, you don't pray for power. You don't see if you can work up some tongues. Because when you're done talking in tongues, you're still going to be weary. What the Bible say? Consider him, lest you be weary. Amen? It's getting your eyes off yourself. Yes. That is the antidote, yes, for spiritual, physical, emotional, mental weariness. Hallelujah. When I think about me, Lord, help us. Amen? Amen? This whining, complaining, beat down, beat up, poor me church, has to stand up one of these days and declare him through our life, not just through our words, that he does have living water, that he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. He told us to cheer up. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. Think about all the pressure you're under and let just sink on down in the mire. Amen. Oh, dear Lord, let me tell you about being focused. Lamentations, say lamentation. It is the book of the blues. To lament means to have a broken heart, amen, and to lament over. And here's Jeremiah that preached the word of God. No one has listened to him. Now God's judgments are in the land, and he knows they're God's judgments, so they can't be reversed. Nobody can bail us out in America if God is judging this nation for materialism. And if you think we're not a materialistic nation, don't just look at the world about you. Look at what many preachers are teaching. They can't talk about nothing else. Amen. It's like Jesus isn't coming soon. Heaven somehow isn't important anymore. Hell doesn't even seem to exist. There's no judgment to come. All there is Cadillacs and gold and silver and Rolexes. Is this such a time to go after gold and apparel? If we're living with the coming of Christ at the doors, shouldn't there be someone sounding an alarm in God's holy mountain? Shouldn't God's people be prepared? Shouldn't we be focused? When you see these things begin to come to pass, get focused. Not on the distracting, disrupting, discouraging, deceptive things around you, but look up. Look up. Look up. Look up toward the eastern sky. Why? Your redemption is drawing nigh. Can you say amen? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the prayer Jesus asks us to pray. In every prayer, there's a consideration of His kingdom. There's a focus on His kingdom. Amen. When the gospel is preached, this wishy-washy, mixed up, watered-down gospel, no, there's one gospel. Hey, hallelujah. When this gospel, amen, according to brother so-and-so, sister Hoopendigger, no. This gospel according to this evangelist, that apostle, no. When this gospel of the kingdom... When this gospel of the kingdom, when this gospel of the kingdom, amen, is preached into all the world for a witness, then shall the end come. There is no gospel without the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Come on, you can't just get free tickets to heaven. Amen. Kingdom means the rule and the domain of a king. And let me tell you something, Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise today. Hallelujah. There's a name written on His thigh. King of kings and Lord of lords. How dare us preach a gospel where men and women don't bow before Jesus and yet take all of what He suffered to give us as a ticket to heaven. There is no incident in Bible where it says, and I harp on this, I'm going to harp on it till He comes. You don't receive Him as your Savior. And then consider whether or not He can be your Lord. Or how to what degree He can be your Lord. The communion table is not a place to barter with God. The altar is not a place to bargain with God. It's a place of unconditional surrender. You didn't hear me. I said unconditional surrender. I surrender some. I surrender some. Some to Jesus. I surrender. I surrender some. No sugar. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Oh, hallelujah. 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 In His presence daily live. Come, take me now. Part of the words of that song, come and take me. Take me now. We're bought with a price. We are not our own. No man can be my disciple unless he deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Amen. The phrase in the Bible is this, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I do not believe in salvation without accepting Christ as the Lord of your life. I believe a key element in repentance is that we change masters. Can you say, man, you didn't hear me, that we get a new master? Oh, you didn't hear me, that we get a new master? For we have been translated out of the powers of darkness into the first church of what's happening now. No, that is not where we have been set. We have been translated out of the powers of darkness. Here's that word again. Into the kingdom. Into the kingdom. Into the rule. Into the absolute monarchy. Amen. Of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can you say, man, glory to God. We're translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's where Jesus rules. That's where Jesus reigns supreme. So when we turn that around, we've got people that claim a ticket to heaven through grace and disown or will not bow to Christ. They have no regard for His word, nor His person, nor His house, nor His praise, nor His people. But we preach them into glory when they die because they walked an aisle somewhere and got their free ticket. It is free, but it involves repentance from sin. There's no salvation in this Bible without repentance from sin. None. No wiggle room for people who want to live in sin and claim heaven and claim Him. Does that mean that we don't all slip and fall and get up and go on? I'm not talking about sinless perfection, and I'm not talking about legalism, earning your way to heaven. I'm talking about what it means to be born from above. If any man be in Christ, he's the old sinner, and we're going to urge him to consider the Lordship. See, that's what's wrong with seeker friendly. We get them in with the idea, maybe the motive was good. We get them in, but above all, we get them here. They won't listen to the message of the cross if it's slammed in their face. They don't want to hear about hell, that's for sure. Can you say, man, they have little or no regard for him, so that's not a message that attracts them. But if we start talking about issues that concern them, i.e. your finances, your family, your children, and how to be the best at your job and have the great home and everything, things going to be fine, we get them in church. Maybe if we get them in church, then we can get them to follow Christ. Amen. If we can just get them to hear the message. Amen. Well, God never presented the gospel that way. He slammed them in the face with the cross. He slammed them in the face with the issues of heaven or hell. Can you say amen? Oh, you're not listening to me today. Amen. Listen, people that are lost need to know they're lost. Whether they come to church or not is not the issue. The issue is, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ on that great day? Listen to me, church. Amen. And it's not working. The experiment failed. Some of the proponents of it that have these huge churches are deeply concerned because the people walk out the door and they don't follow Jesus. Oh, yes, they got their free ticket to heaven that was given out in every service, but they have no regard for Him who died on the cross. He has no influence. That's not the gospel of the kingdom, because kingdom, everywhere it's used, doesn't mean this mystical place in the cosmos. It means where a king rules. Rules in absolute authority. Everybody say the rule. And the domain of a king. Can you say amen? Everybody say Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Let me tell you something. No man can call Jesus Lord. But by the Holy Ghost, there's got to be a work of God in you before you can truly call Him Lord. It's got to be a life-changing work of the Holy Spirit in you before you can call Him Lord. And people that think they can without that life-changing experience are going to stand before Him deceived on that day. For many will say unto me, what? Lord, 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 Lord. He said, you're workers of iniquity. You can't call me Lord and live like that. Can you say, man? You can't claim me as your saved Lord and Savior, because there is no such thing as Savior and Lord. Not in my Bible and not in yours. Can you say, man? You can't claim me a Savior who you will not accept as Lord. Because the first thing I want to do is get you out of that old master's house and get you into a new master's house and not leave you anywhere in between. That old master you had, you were of your father, the devil. His works you did. But that's changed when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. For you've been translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom. The kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom of God's dear Son. Everybody say Jesus is Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's Lord in three worlds. Did you know that? Did you know that in heaven there's not an angel that doubts that Jesus is Lord? He's the captain of the Lord's host. That simply means that He is the commander-in-chief of heaven's armies. That's why when heaven's armies, including us, come back to this earth, amen, the Bible said that He's going to be leading that great army, riding on a white horse with a name on His thigh, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And every knee, He's Lord on the earth too. And many people won't accept it, but that doesn't change the reality. Can you say, man, He's still Lord? And one day everybody say every. Bill Maher, amen, if he don't get saved between now and eternity, Bill Maher is going to kneel and confess He is Lord. Can you say, man? I don't know what happened to Madeline Murray O'Hare. Nobody knows where she disappeared to. But one day, this atheist that was solely responsible for trying trying to get him prayer out of the schools and led the vanguard of atheism in America. One day Madeline Murray O'Hara is going to bow down on her knees and without even looking him in the eye, cry out, "He is Lord," to the glory of God. Adolf Hitler is going to be raised up, amen, in that resurrection of that day to stand and confess he's Lord. No one is going to hell before they confess that he's Lord. There's two resurrections. Resurrection of the righteous and the resurrection of the wicked. And don't think death lets man off the hook. It doesn't. The dead, small and great, have to stand before the throne. And who's seated on that throne? All judgment, my Bible said, because he became the eternal sacrifice, all judgment has been committed to the Son. That's why when John saw him, he had hair as wool. And his eyes were as a burning fire. And that doesn't mean x-ray vision like Superman to look into your heart. No, he has that already. That's omniscience. But this is, amen, going with the what he's seen, the hair of wool. Back in the high courts in England right now, do they still wear, amen, the white? They put it on as a symbol that they are going to move into to judge and judge righteously and equitably. Amen. His hair was as wool, but marking him as the judge of the quick and the dead. Can you say amen? His eyes were burning fire means indignation against sin. Everybody say indignation. Amen. It's the wrath of God that's going to be poured out during the tribulation. Can you say amen? And that's justifiable anger. A God has been offended by our sins has every right. Amen. He's not angry wanting to destroy us. He's angry at sin and he can't accept us with it. He sent a Savior for the express purpose of delivering us from it. Can you say amen? Not leaving us chained by it. And that's why the deliverance takes place when he's Lord and Savior. He takes us out of Satan's domain into the kingdom of God's Son. Jesus becomes the Lord of our life. And we miss it sometimes, but we feel it deeply when we do, because the bent is toward righteousness. And if you sin without consequence and without conviction, the Bible said you're still of the devil. 1 John. You're of the devil. You can't claim God. I'm taken back by whole religions and some respected men. There's some great Bible teachers in denominations but I don't respect the denominational theology. I cannot, I must not. Can you say, man, I cannot endorse it? Why? Because it's giving away free tickets to heaven. And the free ticket comes this way. Accept Christ as your Savior and we'll deal with... Now we'll preach, teach, try to move you into His Lordship. But that's that. Whether you do, whether you don't, is not an issue. You're going to heaven anyway. Get it when you're 12 and forget about it. The Bible's different. A change has to come, Sean. Who, if any man be in Christ, he's that same old sinner bound by sin, just got a free ticket to heaven called grace. No, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Why do old things pass away? Everything become new because we get a new master. You didn't hear me, because we get a new master. Can you say, man, I said, we get a new master. You were of your father, the devil, but now Jesus is Lord. I said, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. You got loved ones claiming to be Christian. They have no regard for Christ. Don't you believe it? Amen. Pray for them to get saved. Amen. Who told them they were saved? Who told them they were saved? That is what saved means. The same old you and the same old sin. Let no man deceive you. This is how sin continued means Jesus isn't Lord. Neither the fornicator. Flee fornication. Someone said, what does God think about sex outside of marriage? He says, run from it just like Joseph did. Neither the fornicator, someone who does this all the time, unrepentant, unconvicted, unconcerned, nor the idolater. Covetousness in the New Testament is identified as spiritual idolatry. Always wanting what the world has. Comparing, competing. neither the fornicator, nor the idolater, nor the abuser of themselves with mankind, nor the effeminate hath any part in the kingdom. Come on, this is about the kingdom. Shulabaka sataba hath any part in the kingdom of God. See, to get to heaven, the holy city, you've got to first receive the reign of the king. You can't reject the reign of the king and want to live in his city. Blessed are they that do his commandments. That doesn't mean this is not legalism or sinless perfection. These are people that says, I acknowledge he's Lord. Can you say amen? I don't fight against his lordship. I fight with my flesh to obey him all the time. But I don't ever question his lordship. His right to rule in my life is settled. Can you say amen? Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to enter into the city and to drink of the river of life. It's not legalism or sinless perfection. It's those that say, he has the rule. He has the right to rule. And you'll struggle with it. I struggle with it. Not his right to rule, but my weak flesh. Paul said, I struggle with it too. I buffet my body. I bring it into subjection. And I do it with God's grace and God's help. Wow. Where did we get the idea you can go to heaven with no regard for God's word nor God's son? Many. Here's the religious deception all around us. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we're claiming that we have received the gospel of the kingdom when we in fact have not. Jesus put it this way before he said that. He said, why callest thou me Lord and do not what I say? If you have no heart to obey God, you can't call me Lord, because Lord means master. Hallelujah. I have a master. I got angry one time. I didn't say one curse word. I didn't hit anybody. But I spoke the truth in anger. And I don't mean, you know, like Jesus kicking over the money tables. This is something that offended me. And I apologized to the person I said it to and to a person that was a brand new Christian. And I said, I want to apologize to you. And they consoled me. And this is what they said. They said, Rev, you're only human. I said, thank you for that. I appreciate your patience with me. And I thank you for that. But I am a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. And as a Christian, I can't let this go and just blame it on my humanness. I have a master. I have a Lord. I love him. I want to serve him. Amen? I'm under new ownership. I'm not my own. And I could sit and justify all day long. Oh, man, you should have given them that and more. I've heard Christians talk about, I remember a lady that used to attend church here said, I called them up and I give them a piece of my mind. And then she told me what piece she gave them. And Lord help us, it was bad. Amen. She said, but they had it coming. She felt totally justified in being that way. And I thought, you need to repent of that. At some point along the way, you need to get that under the blood of Jesus. Amen. Because you've got a new master. Yes, exactly. Can you say, exactly. Man, I have a new master. James and John were called the sons of thunder. Amen. You wanted to fight, honey? They were ready to put them up at any time. They were rowdy boys, riotous boys. Can you say amen? They were like Elton John's song Saturday Night. Amen. Talking about a belly full of beer and looking for a fight. Amen. And until they met Jesus and it all changed. Can you say amen? Everything changed. The sons of thunder became the sons of righteousness and goodness and kindness and mercy. What wrought that great change? Jesus became the Lord of their life. Someone said, if he isn't Lord of everything, he isn't Lord at all. That's why the songwriter said, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. Consider him. Get focused on him.
There are 7 references to Jesus personally, not just about him, but his person. And they cover the whole mediatorial work of the new covenant of grace. And in each incident in the book of Hebrews, we are called to consider him. Now, I clearly don't have time to go through these 7 because I was supposed to be at number 5 by now. But we've got an easy believism out there. I saw a man on TV recently, and I really wasn't paying any attention to him because he just had that look, and he just fit the contemporary gospel attitude of. And I thought, man, this guy is. I don't even want to listen to him because I know where he's going, and it always bothers me. And when I see the scripture misused or abused, it bothers me. Amen. Does it bother you?
Yes.
It bothers me. I don't look at how big the church is or how many people are following. It bothers me when Scripture is abused or misused. But the other day I saw the same guy, and I ran and told my wife about it. Same guy that bothered me earlier. Amen. And I said, could God be speaking to some ministers? Because he was ministering along the line of people calling Jesus Lord. Saying, Lord, Lord. He said, I preach funerals all the time, and I'm looking at this guy that seems to be liberal all over, but he said, I preach funerals all of the time, and people come up to me and they say, he's probably looking down at us right now. Or they're in a better place. And he said, I don't just say it to them, but he said, I think it when they say it to me. He said, because some of them, and he used the H-E double hockey stick word, razors. He said, I knew their life. Well, listen, the life can never be sinlessly perfect, but it must reflect change.
Amen.
Salvation doesn't leave you with the same old master. It brings you into the kingdom of God's Son, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Say it, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what the kingdom of God is. That's exactly what the kingship of Jesus is. Woo! Hallelujah. And if you live without his lordship and claim that he's your Savior, this man that seemed to have liberal written all over him is saying, and I want to say to them, really? You really believe they're there? That you can live like this and be there? See, every time you talk about the way someone lives, they want to label you legalism. It's not about legalism. This is not about sinless perfection. This is about a change that must come. If any man be in Christ, he's the same old person with a free ticket to heaven. No, he's got a new master.
Hallelujah.
I said he's got a new master.
Hallelujah.
I said he must have a new master. Thank God I changed masters. Amen. Hebrews 6 and 16. Is it Hebrews 6? It's one of them. It's 6:16. Just look through all the Gospels, you'll find it. Amen. I just know it's chapter 6 and verse 16. Whoever you yield. Maybe it's Romans 6:16. Halabakosha. Whoever you yield. Your members. Amen. Servants to obey. His servant you are.
Yes,
that's right.
Whether sin unto death or God unto righteousness. But whoever you yield, your servant, your member servants, whoever you bow to, do you bow to the culture? Do you bow to the world? Do you bow to the devil and his crowd? Are you to bow to Jesus Christ and him alone? In his little brush with Christianity, Robert Zimmerman, better known as Bob Dylan, his little brush with Christianity, he wrote a song, you may be a doctor, you may be a king, but you're going to serve somebody. Can you say, man, the Bible says you're going to serve somebody. In the song, the lyric came, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you are going to serve one of these two. You can't be in the middle. Can you say, man, you're going to love one and hate the other? You're going to hate one and love the other, but there's no just liking Jesus. while loving the world. If any man love the world, what does the Bible say about that? The love of the Father. It doesn't matter what the man says anymore. God speaks on that issue. The love of the Father is not. Doesn't matter what the woman says anymore. God says the love of the Father is not in them. Can you say amen? You can't love a world that hates God and love God at the same time. Hallelujah. There needs to be a healthy separation. We're in it, and God has not taken us out of it because we're the salt and we're the light. Amen. But we're in the world, but we are not of the world. Amen. And Jesus prayed some more stuff. Not that we just be one as they are one, but Father, amen, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. And I'm telling you, you decide to let Jesus be the Lord of your life. There's keeping power available to you by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We're different for a reason. We just don't join up with anybody for a reason. There are things that we cannot endorse because we have a book and we have a master. Communion is another opportunity to get focused. My son, look not to the right nor to the left. Don't let your heart envy sinners, neither go thou after them. But let thine eyes look straight on before thee. Thy word, David said, is a lamp to my feet. It is a light to my feet. A lamp to my feet, a light to my path. It shows me the way of righteousness. I have a heart to walk in it, but it illuminates it. The entrance of thy word, he went on to say, giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. And they that are of the light walk in the light. And if you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses you. It has a continual effect in your life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. From all unrighteousness and iniquity. That's what communion is supposed to do, is bring us back, not just to remember that he suffered for us, but to remember that he is with us, that his death brought us a change, a mighty change. Hallelujah. Out of darkness into the kingdom. When this gospel of the kingdom, I heard a missionary come back from, was it one of the Russian countries that had become independent from Mother Russia? And there was a great hunger, a spiritual hunger. And this missionary came back and said, you know, we're not the only ones going in there to capitalize on the spiritual hunger. There are others, there are cults and those that are heretics. There are people that are way off from the gospel that was once delivered to the saints that are also going in to proselyte, to capitalize. These people don't know, and they're coming with their wrong messages. And he said, it's vitally important that the Christian church do everything we can evangelistically, because there are others that are proselyting, others that are going. Jesus talked about people would go and make disciples in the name of religion. He said, you can pass land and sea to make one proselyte. You know what a proselyte? A conversion to someone else's faith or religious philosophy. And said, when you do, you make them twice the child of hell as you are. It won't save you. A false gospel won't save. That's why Jesus made a claim, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. His blood is the only blood that could atone for man's sin. There's no other way to God except through the blood covenant, period. And that one day during the tribulation will cost Christians their heads. Did you understand me clearly today? That will cost you your head. I believe the mark to be more than just a tattoo. There may indeed be some. I can put a insert in my dog's ear. Did you hear the story about the technologies here to mark everybody? Keep track of you through satellites. I mean, it's here. It's the technology for all of the things happening in the book of Revelation. It's all here and now. Did you hear about the dog in Atlanta that got lost? It's a British lady, lost her beautiful golden retriever. And here in Tampa, outside a man's business, it was in the Tribune last week, there was a guy saw a dog that was flea-bitten, forlorn, in a heavy rain that was coming down in Tampa a couple of weeks ago, and it was pouring down rain, and he saw this dog out there, and he just felt compassion for it. He thought about calling animal services, and he thought, well, no, I don't know. He said he had a dog, so he was an animal lover. So he brought the dog in. He said he had to bathe it four or five times to get all the stuff out of the hair. He had to flea dip it and feed it, and it was starved, emaciated, just in a mess. It looked like it had been through everything a dog could go through. And he decided to take it to a vet to see if there might be a chip in the ear, shoulder. And the vet found it, and everything come up, the information on the dog on the computer. He picks up and calls the owner in Atlanta. She jumps in a car and rushes to Tampa, and there's a picture of her sitting on the floor of his business holding this big golden retriever and wondering what that dog must have went through. For 6 months, the dog had been missing. Lost it in Atlanta where she lived, and here it is in Tampa. But now, because of that chip that told her everything, who the dog was, who the owner was, address, phone, it's all right there. Honey, in this day, I believe a global economy is going to come because the ups and downs of the mark and the euro, Europe is already understanding we'll have a more stable global economy if all our money is the same and we don't have the yen being worth more than the dollar being worth less than the mark, the Deutschmark or whatever. But let's put it under, now there's a euro, amen, and it's coming, amen. We're shaking right now enough financially that it would be understandable if they said we're going to have one global money system. Honey, that's in place during the tribulation, and everything for that to happen is coming into view. Amen. The mark of the beast, I believe there will be in the forehead or the hand, there will be a chip. They can insert it. They're already inserting them in some kids, so they you can always find a child that is missing. And it would be so simple because no one can steal your credit card. My wife took her purse out to get gasoline, dropped a Shell card before getting back in the car. Honey, they took that card down to Miami, and in Miami, they begin to, a Bank AmeriCard, they begin to buy gas. Gas is more important than watches from Sam's Club. Amen. And so they begin to buy gas with it, and they totaled up this huge bill, and now we watch more closely our credit cards. I ordered a $9.95. Addition for a radio broadcast to give me MP3 capability, compress it, you know, to get it on MP3 because my sound card didn't have the MP3 thing, but you could order it for $9.95, ordered it online. Guess what we heard next? I put it on a credit card with all the so-called safeguards. Guess what we heard next? Amen. We got a bill on that credit card. A guy buying airplane tickets in Taiwan on our credit card, and we had to go through all that to get that canceled and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, hey, a day is going to come where they're going to say they ain't going to get your credit card. You're not going to buy or sell without this chip and without this mark, but the mark goes beyond that. Amen. God has a mark on you, and Satan is going to put a mark on those that are his. Amen. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. The word means marked, branded. He that hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Hollering, Lord, Lord, till the cows come home won't change that. Can you say, man, God's mark on you is the Holy Spirit being able to manifest Christ in you and to you. Are you listening to me today? Man, you're sealed to the day of redemption. Praise God. Amen. But the devil's crowd are going to be sealed too. Amen. You're sealed for mercy. Marked for mercy. I had a sermon on that. They're marked for judgment. And believe me, amen, the mark of the beast will mark the world for judgment as sure as I'm preaching this message today, and there's no in between. You love me, you hate me, you're for me, you're against me, you gather with me or you scatter. And when this preacher preached that to his more or less liberal young contemporary congregation, it panned the audience, and all of these hoorahing people were not hoorahing. No one was giving a hand clap like you did to truth a while ago. Because what they were hearing, they're not used to hearing from the pulpits of America. And you know why they're not used to hearing it? Because preachers that are preaching for popularity and wealth and gain will not tell the truth on Sunday morning for fear of losing that place that they're grasping for in people's opinions. They want to be well thought of. And you know what Jesus said about that? He said, if men spoke well of you to his disciples, they spoke well of the false prophets that came before you. Can you say amen? But he said, let me tell you something. Get it understood before you go preaching. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. And if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. But when they do, take it as a sign that you have a different master. You live in a different kingdom than the kingdom of this old world. Amen. He said, if you were of the world would embrace and love his own. But you are not of the world. Can you say amen? You're marked as mine. Hallelujah. Oh, give God a clap offering today. Praise the Lord. And when they cast your name out as evil, and they say all manner of lies about you, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. You have just been confirmed as my child and a citizen of that kingdom. For great is your reward in heaven. Can you say amen? I'm glad to be part of this kingdom. And when I pray, I say, thy kingdom come. Not just in the world, but initially in me and then to the world. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Three worlds, he's Lord, heaven and earth. Every tongue will knee bow, every tongue will confess. And in hell, let me tell you something about unbelief and doubt. There's not a devil in hell that isn't full of faith. Honey, there's faith down there. They don't doubt who God is. They know who God is. And they know exactly who Jesus is. And Satan knows exactly what's going to happen at the end of it all. Because the Bible said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan hath come down upon you having great wrath. Down unto you having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. Can you say amen? He knows Jesus is Lord. Can you say amen? And when Jesus said your time is up, he's out of business forever. And the only thing that awaits him is eternal banishment and eternal punishment. So what he does, he's got to do very quickly. Can you say amen? He knows. He knows. Amen. The demoniac of the Gadarenes. There was no doubt, unbelief, wishy-washiness. I know who you are. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Why comest thou to torment us before our time? Can you say, man, they thought he'd come to consign them right now. They didn't understand what his primary mission was then. But the devil knows. It's the church that's out of touch today. Can you say amen? We're out of touch with the eternal. We're out of touch with the heaven and hell issues that face us all. We're out of touch with the soon coming of Jesus. We're not living in the light of his soon coming. Because he that hath this hope, what happens to the life? Purifies himself. He gets himself ready. We used to sing, making my record bright, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. We lived in holy anticipation. And that was way back then when I came to Christ, 21 going on 22, in a full-blown commitment and accepted him as my Lord and Savior. That's what took, and that's what holds me now. Can you say amen? Will you don't have to stand to your feet. Will you please serve us Holy Communion? Hallelujah. I don't have a problem with Jesus being the Lord of my life. I have many struggles with my flesh. How about you today? But I have no problem with Jesus being the Lord, because I've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into where, church? The kingdom of God's dear Son, the rule and the domain of this great King. Hallelujah. And I love him today for what he's done for me. He's my lifeline number two, if you will, while we're getting ready. Praise the Lord.